You can now pre-order my brand new book, Analyzing the American Divide, for only $20. And this book is a must-read, as it highlights in the Bunch propaganda promoted by white supremacists towards people of African descent while addressing charges of cannibalism, high crime rates, low IQ claims by race realists, and so-called lack of advanced civilization by black Africans. Make sure to go to my official website at brothersay.com and order this brand new book. That is brothersay.com. Peace.
One Up Entertainment Radio. Stay One Up.
Greetings and thank you guys for tuning in to another installment of the One Up Entertainment Radio podcast. As always, I'm your host, Brother Say, and today's topic is going to be about my brand new book called Analyzing the American Divide. This book is going to be a book that you all must purchase. Pretty much this book is a historical breakdown of the history of white supremacy in America. It starts from the colonial times, goes into the foundation of the founding of America. It goes into the political divide. It goes into social dynamics of white supremacy among whites, white nationalism, whiteness. What is whiteness? So we, of course, we're going to define what whiteness is, look at the historical outlook of whiteness when it comes to socially what America has deemed as the definition of being white. This book is very special to me because I've been able to focus in something that I feel is very important. In chapter 6, I break down the history of crime data statistics in America, and I show how crime data statistics has been cherry-picked and used to justify the harming of blacks by law enforcement. And it's unfortunate, but it's true that a lot of our people are being harmed by law enforcement currently as we speak. And the rhetoric that's often used, not just by white supremacists or white nationalists, but by the mainstream media, is that whites are not as violent as blacks, and that blacks have all of this violence going on in our communities. And the honest truth is that there's a strong misrepresentation of what's taking place in our communities. I'm not saying that crime doesn't take place. I'm not saying that violence doesn't take place, but there's a very, very, very small percentage of our people that are being involved in this kind of behavior. And to the most part, the overwhelming majority of black people are just hard-working, law-abiding citizens. And this is a fact, regardless of what you believe. And I prove this, I show this in chapter 6. So for anybody who follows me on social media, especially on Twitter, you're familiar with this topic. I've had a lot of debates online, and I've gone through the process of showing how the data has been misanalyzed and misused by white nationalists and white supremacists, or just people in general. So the book is not just about this chapter, but I did spend a lot of time talking about this specific issue. So in this podcast, I'm going to address that specific issue dealing with crime data statistics. But the book is much more than that. I do take time within the book to show how the educational system in America is very harmful to young black men and women. It's very bad for self-esteem, because when you're sitting in the classroom and all you're learning is that the white founding fathers were great men, and then you're learning that these people also own your ancestors, it's very confusing for a young child to have to praise or be told that they need to praise certain men, meanwhile knowing that these men owned and purchased and sold your ancestors. And then all you're learning about your ancestors is starting from slavery, when you have so much knowledge and history that takes you into the continent of Africa with all of these different civilizations that are never talked about, that are never learned in the school system. Any way that you can research information regarding the Great Zimbabwe, the Mali Empire, the Great Benin Empire, the Kushites in ancient Sudan, and on and on and on. This is a travesty that black people are limited in the school system to the knowledge that it is being taught about their ancestors, while they're being forced to learn how great the Europeans were, how great the American founding fathers were, and they're told that these are the people that should be your heroes. So that's very damaging to a lot of young people. And I get into the whole dynamics of that, but I also just break down relationships that white people have had among themselves, the disputes that they've had among themselves as well. When you're dealing with white nationalism, or even the question of what is whiteness, and you know that the perception of being white has changed over the years, then it's something that you can take out of that when you look at today, and you look at white nationalism today, and what objectives and motives that these people have. It's good to just have a good knowledge of all of these things, and I think this book offers and brings something to the table. So definitely go out and purchase this book if you can. The paper cover should be available within the next 2 to 3 weeks, but it is available for pre-order at my official website at brothersay.com. That's brothersaye.com. And you can also you can purchase the actual book on digital form at Barnes & Noble's and at Amazon.com right now as you speak. And the PDF version is also available.com. Is also available as well at brothersay.com. So you could go to the official website and you can get whatever, the digital version, the PDF version, or the paper cover version. You can order it right now by going to the official website. So what I'll do, even though the book has a lot of different components to it, I just want to focus on the chapter 6 component of the book, where it discusses crime data statistics. And I'm going to highlight a few things that I think you should know. Now, a couple of years back, there's a brother named Ben Shapiro. He's supposed to be Jewish, I guess. And I believe he's connected to the Daily Caller or the Daily Wire. I'm not sure exactly which outfit that he's connected to, but one of those news outfits. And I often look at the connection that he has with that outfit, and I see it as a propaganda talking point for the alt-right or for white supremacists in general. And when I say that, I'm often told, oh, you're such a clown. This guy, he's not a white supremacist. He's Jewish. He's Jewish. He's not a white supremacist. How can he be a white supremacist if he's Jewish? It doesn't even make sense. But here's the thing. It's important to note that no matter what color you are, you can promote white supremacist propaganda. There are plenty of blacks who promote white supremacist propaganda and use white supremacist talking points, you know, when they promote whatever it is that they're trying to promote. And this could be true for anybody. It doesn't matter what color you are, anyone can promote white supremacist propaganda. Let's start with that. So to say, well, he's not a white supremacist. Regardless of if you're white, black, Hispanic, whatever, you know, Hispanic's not a race, but whatever you are, if you're promoting white supremacist talking points, you're doing it regardless of what race that you are, right? So Ben Shapiro definitely promotes white supremacist propaganda, no doubt about it. So, you know, somebody might say, oh, brother Say, that's not true. How is he promoting white supremacist propaganda? How is he doing that? So what Ben Shapiro does is he uses cherry-picked crime data statistics to justify the harming of blacks by law enforcement. And there's a video on YouTube that I often use to highlight it. But if you go on my Instagram and you scroll down there, there's actually a video clip of Ben Shapiro using white data, crime data statistics to justify the harming of blacks. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to let you guys listen to a clip of this video, then I'll be right back.
The Black Lives Matter movement doesn't believe Black Lives Matter. In fact, they are the single greatest threat facing young black men who want to survive to become old black men. So why have Democrats embraced the Black Lives Matter movement? The Black Lives Matter movement rose to prominence after the fully justified killing of thug 18-year-old black man Michael Brown by white officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. They claimed Wilson murdered Brown for racist reasons. That was totally false. But facts, evidence, these mean nothing to the Black Lives Matter movement and their allies. Defending criminals and rioters and lying about police, that's what matters to the Black Lives Matter movement. So, what do the Black Lives Matter folks want? According to their website, they demand the, quote, immediate arrest of Officer Darren Wilson, a man that even the racist Eric Holder-run Justice Department acknowledged shot Michael Brown in self-defense. The Black Lives Matter movement, they want to see the creation of a, quote, national policy specifically aimed at redressing the systemic pattern of anti-black law enforcement violence in the United States. Most importantly, they want, quote, to decrease law enforcement spending at the local, state, and federal levels. By fighting the cops, the Black Lives Matter movement and their Democratic allies get black people killed. The real threat to young black men doesn't lie with white police officers at all. In reality, cops don't over-arrest blacks. Crime victim reports match arrests in terms of racial data. Sentencing disparities among races? That's an effect of prior criminal history and other variables, but not race. Police actually hesitate more often in violent confrontation with black suspects, and they shoot black suspects less often than white suspects in similar situations. The real threat to young black men lies with other young black men. Black people generally are almost 8 times more likely to be murdered than white people, according to statistician Nate Silver. Murder is now the number one cause of death for black males 15 to 34, and virtually all of those murders are committed by other young black men. Black men represent approximately 6% of Americans, but nearly 40% of all murder victims and perpetrators. And it's been that way for a century. In the 1920s, one estimate put the black murder rate at 7 times that of whites. In 1950, the black murder rate was 12 times.
Now, if you listen to that video very closely, there's a couple of things that you'll see off, right off the rip. He definitely is using crime data statistics to justify the harming of blacks because he literally says it justifies the action of law enforcement and what they do when they harm blacks. So he's justifying it, and not only is he saying he's justifying it, but he's using crime data statistics as the justification. Okay, so let's start with that. So now you have the white supremacist will say, well, the facts are the facts. Facts. He's stating facts. He's stating facts. Okay, so let's look at the specific claim that he's making. What he's doing is I use the term cherry picking for a reason. When you cherry pick something, sometimes you do something that's called presenting half truth. Now, a half truth is something where there's a full context that needs to be made, but you're only presenting a truthful element out of that context, and it's not in full, it's not a full message of what's being told. So in turn, you're not rolling out the full context, you're only selecting a specific truth out of something that has multiple details. And if you're honest, you would present the entire argument or the entire data, then bring it into full context as to what's actually being said. So what Ben Shapiro does is he makes a truthful statement, but it's taken out of context because he's misrepresenting what the argument really is, and he's misrepresenting what the data actually says in full. Now, if you're confused, let me be more specific. He's making a statement that more whites are killed by law enforcement than blacks. Now, this is a factual statement. More whites are indeed killed by law enforcement than blacks. Now, that's his argument. His argument is that, you see, blacks are not being honest. More whites are actually killed than blacks, so therefore, it's nothing wrong with what law enforcement is doing. It's justified. But here is what he's leaving out of his argument. There's something that white supremacists love to do. They love to talk about per capita when it comes to crime data statistics, because they know in most cases whites lead in the total amount of arrests and total amount of crimes in America, because they are the overwhelming majority, right? So they'll say, well, per capita, more blacks lead in this statistic. So to be honest, more blacks are responsible for these crimes than us, which is senseless to state that more blacks do it than whites when you have the total amount of number. Like, he's using the total amount of number right now. He's saying more whites are killed statistically by law enforcement than blacks. And that's what you should use when you use all of the data. But he's cherry picking this specific crimes statistic to point out how more whites are killed by law enforcement than blacks. But here's the deal. If you study the information per capita, more blacks are killed per capita than whites at an alarming rate. Because remember, blacks are only 13% of the population. We're only 47 million out of 325 million people in America. And at the rate that law enforcement has been documented as killing unarmed blacks, is a very, very, very high rate compared to whites per capita. And that's the information that he's leaving out. And that's the argument. Black people are not stating that whites are not killed more than blacks. They're stating that based on the per capita, more blacks are being killed at an alarming rate. You see? And Ben Shapiro knows this. He even makes the per capita argument when he's doing his other talking points dealing with crime data statistics. So he's purposely not rolling out his information using the per capita data to make a point. He's trying to persuade the argument by leaving out specific details that would change the entire context of what the argument really is. And he's purposely doing that. He's using a white supremacist tactic, his white nationalist talking point. And he's purposely doing that. He knows exactly what per capita is because he's made the per capita argument plenty of times. See, and that's what a lot of these people do. They cherry, and that's the whole purpose of me using the word cherry pick. You're cherry picking crime data statistics to make an argument. And he's guilty of that. So for those of you who don't comprehend what I'm saying, I'm not saying that he didn't tell the truth. I'm saying he cherry-picked what he was telling, and he didn't tell all of the truth. So it changed the entire context, and it misrepresented what the actual data states and what the argument was really about. The arguments that are being made within black communities and by black people is based on the per capita amount. Not, we don't deny that more whites are being killed by law enforcement than blacks. We're saying that at an alarming rate per capita is extreme compared to the white community based on our limited numbers or smaller numbers, being 13% of the population. And everybody who's familiar with the term per capita knows exactly what I'm talking about. Nobody's dumb, nobody's stupid. But anyway, so enough of the Ben Shapiro discussion. That's just one example of how people use crime data statistics to justify the harming of blacks. But if you go into the specifics, if you look at the 2017 crime data statistic, there's a table, table 43, and it shows the arrest totals. It shows that whites were represented at 69% of all arrests for 2017, like 68.9, so around 69%. And then it shows a breakdown for every specific crime in America, and it shows a percentage. And as you, if you were to look at that table, I think blacks have a higher percentage in two categories, and that would be a murder arrest and robbery arrest. And what white supremacists will do is use the arrest totals for murder. They never talk about any of the other. Even for violent crimes, whites are at 53% for violent crimes for the arrest totals, and blacks are like at 37%, around 37% or so. But what they'll do is they'll, out of all the data that exists, and remember, the FBI has multiple tables, like around 69 tables of different analysis of crime statistics to evaluate and to read and to kind of do a breakdown of the crime data in America. But they'll use this table 43. They'll go directly to the murder arrest, and they'll misrepresent what the data actually states. They'll state that blacks are responsible for 53% of the murders, and they'll use the arrest. And it's important to note that arrests are totally different from actual crimes, because you can have the police target a specific group of people and arrest them at an alarming rate, where other groups who are committing the same crimes are not being punished as much. So the dynamic of arrest versus actual crimes are not aligned in America, and I'll get into the crime data reporting itself and how that is flawed. But let's get back to the 53%. So they usually use that table 43. They don't talk about anything else other than the fact that they'll misrepresent that blacks are responsible for 53% of the total documented murders. And that's a totally false claim. And in my book, I show how it's a false claim. I'm going to tell you guys how it's a false claim. Like I stated, table 43 is a table specifically dealing with arrest totals in America based on documents that have been turned in by the different agencies in America. But if you look at table 1, table 4, there are other tables you can look at. It states the specific total. And before I get into that, I kind of jumped the gun real quick. What it states in table 43 is that there were 9,000 or so total documented arrests for murder. And it shows that blacks were responsible for about 5,025 of the arrests for murder. And that would make it around 53% of the arrests for murder were people who were black. Okay, so that's, they state that blacks, their argument then goes into using that data to state that blacks, despite being 13% of the population, were responsible for 53% of the murders. Now, the people who state that is not the FBI. The FBI doesn't state that. The white supremacists, white nationalists, or even mainstream news, news stations, news elements, or news reporting will state the same white supremacist talking point that I just rolled out. And it's unfortunate because they're using that argument to justify harming black people. But here's the deal. If you go into the crime data statistics and you look at the different tables, they actually, that 9K number is just arrest totals for murders. They actually state the total documented murders in America in different tables, like in table 1 and table 4. They straight out show you that the total amount of documented murders was around 17,000 plus in these tables. And I've gone in my book and I've highlighted this, and I show, so the same math that they were using to make that 53% is pseudo. It's not legit, because those are arrest totals that they're rolling out. Those are not totals that state how many blacks were responsible for the murders in America, because the murders in America were over 17K, and it was not 9K as they, the math that they're trying to use, right? So that math that they were using from that table, it states something totally different than what they're claiming, right? So once I roll that out, it's important for me to point that then what they'll do sometimes is they'll go to the victim percentage, where 50% of the victims for murder based on what was turned in to the FBI is around 50%. So they'll try to make it the argument that, well, if you look at the victim total, that says 50%. So they'll try to justify their false claim by going to the victim total. But a victim, it's important to note, if a white person shoots a black person, that black person is a victim. But that white person is the person who shot the black person. So you can't blame black people for a black victim. You understand what I'm saying? If there are 50% of the victims were black, doesn't necessarily account to the person or the offender, the person who shot that black person, as being black. So you can't say, oh, there were 50% of the victims who were black for murder, therefore blacks were responsible for 50% of the murders. You can't do that. That's pseudo math. So once again, the crime data statistics with the FBI, they actually have an offender list of those who were connected to murder. So you don't have to guess. It literally has an offender list that you could go to. So the offender list for the FBI, it states that there were 6,444 blacks responsible or connected to murder. So it has a number. And then it states, like I said, that there were around 5,000 or so murders that were not documented by race. It doesn't mean that these murders were not solved. In some cases, of course, it does. But in a lot of cases, sometimes the agencies that were responsible for turning in crime data, in some cases, they didn't turn in crime data at all. Or when they turned in the crime data, they left off the race of the offender. And that happens a lot of times in highly populated white areas that are highly populated, where the agencies refuse to even document the race of the offender, despite in many cases where these offenders may be white. And that's a whole different animal. I'll get into that. I definitely touched that in my book, and I address, I break down how I know this is true. I make it a claim. I'm definitely responsible for supporting any claim that I make. So within the book, I address that. But for this podcast, I want to kind of stay in line with my talking point right now. So with me pointing out the offender is 6,444, then if you go back to table 43, it states that there were 5,025 blacks who were arrested out of that 6,444. So now remember, you have 17,000 plus total documented murders, and you have out of 6,444 blacks who were offenders, you have 5,025 who were arrested out of that. The chart literally shows that blacks were connected to around 37% of homicides and murder in America, and not 50%. And even that number is flawed in itself. The 37% is even flawed. But if we just went by the data, that's what it states. You know, that it's 37%, not 50%. So now you're misrepresenting crime data statistics. So once I break that down and I show it within the data, it's nothing that anybody can refute. It's literally right in your face what it states. Then the next thing that white supremacists will do, or white nationalists will do, is state, okay, you got me there. Okay, the data, it says that, but per capita, blacks are still committing murders at a higher rate than whites, even if it's not at 50%. The per capita shows that blacks are way more violent or just committing way more murders than whites. That'll be the counter argument, because you know once you debunk a white supremacist, it doesn't stop there. They're going to have a counter argument and another argument and another argument, and it never stops. So then I have to then break down, you know, per capita and how crime data is collected in America. Because even that, like I say, that 37% is flawed. And the reason it's flawed is because the way that crime data is collected, and if you actually know how to calculate per capita in regard to crime data statistics, you would know that the whole process is flawed, and you really can't use the numbers that are in front of you to get a specific a legit number. And let me kind of clear it up so you can kind of get an idea of what I mean. So in the FBI crime data statistics, it shows how many agencies are responsible for turning in crime data statistics, and that number is around 18,000 plus. And out of those 18,000 plus agencies, all of those agencies represent a specific population in a specific demographic. So the less agencies that are accountable in regards to turning in crime data, the less of the population you have represented within the crime data. So normally how you'll have it is there are 325 million people in America, and if you're normally doing a per capita, you're trying to get the number out of every 100,000 individuals and to get a breakdown of how many people are likely to be responsible for a specific crime is going to be out of every 100,000 that you'll get a breakdown per race. Normally, when you're calculating per capita, that is, you know, the way that you want to go, especially when you're doing a number out of 325 million. How many people are committing this act out of every 100,000, right? I don't know if that makes sense to you. I break it down in the book and I show the specific way that crime data statistics should normally be broken down and calculated, right? So, what they don't understand is, out of those 18,000 agencies that are accredited to turn in crime data statistics, if you look on table 43, at the very top, under where it says arrest, it shows that out of that 18,000, only 12,000 agencies turn in crime data statistics. And important note, when you turn in crime data statistics, it's not something that's mandatory, it's something that's voluntary. All of this is voluntary. Nobody gets, no agency gets punished for turning in crime data statistics. In the United States, it's optional. All of this is optional. Agencies can turn in crime data statistics and or not turn in crime data statistics, and there's no punishment that comes with not turning in your data. So you can also turn in crime data and not put the race next to the offender, and there's nothing that comes out of that. You know, so if you want to manipulate the data, you can leave off the race. And some agencies purposely do that when they turn in the data. Some agencies don't turn in data at all. So, you know, if 18,000 agencies are accredited for, you know, to be able to turn in crime data and only 12,000 turn in crime data, it tells you all you need to know, right? But it doesn't stop there. In the book, I show and I prove that majority of the agencies not turning in crime data are mostly located in highly white populated areas. And that's damaging. So when you're using per capita and you're trying to calculate data for 325 million people, and the data that's turned in was only by 12,000 agencies. Remember, all the 18,000 agencies added up represent the total population. So the 12,000 or so agencies that turn in crime data, they only represented 250 million people. So you can't use math in regards to 325 million people when you're doing your per capita calculations if the data is only representing 250 million people instead of 325. Now your math is off. And when people talk about per capita, they're normally talking about 325 million and forgetting that the data that was turned in only represents 250 million people. So that's a common mistake that's often made, not just by the average white supremacist, but by a lot of media, mainstream media. And that's very important to note. And even then, once you get the 250 million, now if you said, well, blacks were 13% of the population, and that represents 47 million. Well, now you have to redo the numbers to figure out, well, how many of the 250 were black and white, and then create a new percentage. And all of that is not even done when people are trying to calculate per capita. So now you have to get a new percentage, a breakdown of what race represented, what based on percentage, to be able to even redo the math to get a better breakdown of what the per capita number would be. Dig? So it's very complicated, it's very confusing, but I break it down in the book thoroughly for you to see how this confusion and chaos is being manipulated and mismanaged and misanalyzed and misused to justify law enforcement harming blacks. So, listen, I hope you guys get this book. It's a great read. It's something that you all will enjoy. Like I say, it's not the book in itself. It's not just about crime data statistics. It's so much. It's a lot of fun stuff in there. It's a lot of cool stuff. A lot of educational stuff. A lot of good arguments. A lot of cool images. Things that you've never seen before, like the Wall of Benin. The history behind that. It's so many cool things that you'll learn that you've never been introduced to before in this book, I promise you. So make sure you cop this book. Go to brothersaye.com, brothersaye.com, and purchase my new book, Analyzing the American Divide. Peace.